Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're live today. The number to reach us is 410-662-8780. Toll free 866-661-9309. We have a call or two built up. We're going to get to the other side of Cindy's quiz. I hope that that's all right. So send the exact questions that I asked Kasia, the nutritionist that's on with us today. I'm going to ask you. So I hope you're prepared for all the pressure of this.
Yes. Go ahead. Ask away. Ask away.
Okay. What are three foods you should consume every day?
I bet her answer was very quick. I don't know. I would say probably
from your personal
I think you need to have some sort of citrus, some sort of dairy, and for me, some sort of meat. So if you do eat meat, if not, then lots of vegetables and some sort of protein.
So citrus, dairy, meat.
Vegetables. Citrus/vegetables. How about that? It's a dueling category.
Citrusy vegetables.
Yeah, there you go. That's a great start.
Mm-hmm. All right. What are the five healthiest things that you regularly eat?
I do use a lot of olive oil at home. I do eat a lot of citrus. I eat a lot of fruit and cheese. And I will occasionally eat chicken. And in the summertime, I eat a ton of vegetables. So I love tomatoes and I use a lot of fresh herbs. So my diet at home is very different from perhaps how I might even eat at work. But I typically, because I am a chef, I am at work most of the time. So my meal that might be consumed at home is typically only breakfast. And I often will have eggs or some sort of breakfast dish like that.
So those qualify for what you regularly eat.
Yeah.
Okay. Three things you cannot live without as part of your regular diet, regardless of nutritional value.
I would say eggs and cheese and I don't know. I've never thought about that. Fruit. And whether it's fresh or dried or both, whatever.
Mm-hmm. What is the best thing you ever ate?
Oh, in a restaurant. In the southern part of France, called Beaugravière. It's a dish called chausson, and it's a whole truffle wrapped in puff pastry, and the sauce is a truffle and stock reduction. That's the best thing I've ever eaten.
Isn't there a piece of sur foie gras in there as well?
No, not that one, but he does that as well. He also does one with foie gras. And the other best thing I've ever eaten was a whole chicken and pig's bladder, so see... mine is really healthy, which was at Paul Bocuse's restaurant in Lyon. And the sauce is a morel sauce.
All right. And the most dangerous food or drink that people consume?
I would say dangerous would be anything that has, just... laden with fat that's not a fresh product, whatever that might be, or if it has trans fat, obviously, but anything that's... So it was, what was the most dangerous thing, and what was the other question?
That was it. What is the most dangerous food or drink people regularly consume?
Yeah. Well, I would think the drink would be sodas, but I'm sure it's alcohol, but massive amounts of soda over consumed. I mean, even in recent time, they've decided that coffee is better for you than they thought before. So I really think in the end you need to go with moderation on everything that you do and try and have a balanced diet. That's got to be the most important, and exercise. Those are the most important things, I would think, to your own personal health, and on top of that, listening to your body, because your body will tell you if something is wrong, hopefully.
So let's get our nutritionist back in so that we can get you all on
here. She is
on topic together.
So what do you think is the most dangerous thing to eat or drink, Tony?
My opinion is always any kind of chemical food, any of the processed things.
Yeah, okay.
The more has been processed or touched by
Gosh,
some kind
back.
Of...
Hello.
It's, hey.
Oh, what did I miss?
Not to get political, but a food has been somehow produced by some multinational company that is publicly traded. Mm-hmm. I have the funny feeling that it is probably not good for you. Do you want to know what the answer is that you all gave the same answer for?
Oh, yes. Please.
Oh, good. That's good. Yay! Go chef.
Go chef, go nutritionist.
Uh-huh.
So the most dangerous food or drink, you both said soda right away.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Okay.
3 food juice you consume every day. So Cindy said... citrusy vegetables.
Well, I was trying citrus and vegetables.
Dairy and meat. And Kasia said garlic, cilantro, and broccoli.
That's what you should consume every day? Uh-huh. Wow. All right. Well, I like all those things. That's cool. Good. Most people like all those things. Interesting. Why should we consume those every day?
Do you want to know?
Yes, please.
I specialize in detoxification. So as a nutritionist, okay. I look at research and what do you get? What is the best investment per buck for your buck? So in terms of cancer prevention and cleaning up of your cells and removing the toxins, cilantro is one of the best chelators. So if you make a cilantro pesto, for example, a lot of just olive oil and pesto and some herbs, you can help bind those chemicals and excrete them. So that's one thing. Broccoli has some of the very famous sulfuric compounds that have been studied to actually, even on the DNA level, they're communicating to your DNA not to mutate. And when you have a cell internally already containing toxins, those compounds have the ability to take those compounds and take them out of the cells. We really are pretty toxic with what's happening right now.
Sure.
And then the garlic is also all the allium family is very famous for anti-cancer properties.
So what's the best way to eat them? Should broccoli be raw? Can it be cooked? Is it still as effective? Same thing with the cilantro and the garlic. What's the most effective way?
Steaming it briefly, so it's still bright green.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And the stem actually has much more nutrient density. Some people mm-hmm. claim that mm-hmm. the florets, so it's very interesting.
That's my favorite part of the broccoli is the stem, actually. I prefer to eat that than the floret.
Mm-hmm. How cool is that?
That's good. Well, apparently my body's telling me something, yeah. So.
Every time you make broccoli soup, you're using stems.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Go. Definitely.
Uh-huh. You can blend them, steam them, blend them into a creamy salad dressing.
Yeah. Sounds good. And what about the garlic and the cilantro?
The garlic... You probably know it. You crush it and leave it for maybe 5-10 minutes to break the cell walls, to get the active constituents actually to be released.
Okay.
Before you cook them and fry them and all that. So when I grew up, again, the story from my mom, my father hated the smell of garlic, but in winter she would close the kitchen door, open the window. She would get bread, you know, traditionally baked. They don't do that anymore. But then a lot of butter on a slice of bread. The butter would be from a local farmer. It would be like traditional butter.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that anymore, I think. And then she would chop a lot of garlic, substantial amounts, and it would be all loaded on that slice of bread and a little bit of salt. Our eyes would pop out, literally. Our ears would kind of itch from it, and the window would be open, and we would be eating it. So sometimes I have that memory, sometimes I do that. Not quite so, but a lot of chopped garlic right there.
Very good.
Eat it raw.
That reminds me of L'Ami Louis. There's a famous bistro in Paris that does a potato dish that is unbelievably good, but he puts so much raw chopped garlic on top of it. Every time I see it, I'm like, I cannot believe he puts that much garlic on there. So I bet your mom would have liked that dish.
Yeah.
No one has problems consuming that much garlic once they've had enough wine.
Right.
That's the solution to the mystery of that restaurant. It's incredible how it all goes away.
Yeah,
and you really don't care,
right?
No.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see what else you ladies.
What else did we score?
The 3 things you cannot live without as part of your diet regularly, regardless of nutritional value.
Dun, dun, dun. Tony's like building it up.
Oh, is that a question? No, yeah. We already said
no, we already answered it.
You already answered.
Yes.
So what's,
And you said eggs, cheese.
And I think I said chicken. I don't remember.
Eggs, cheese, and fresh fruit.
Oh, fresh fruit. Eggs, cheese, and fresh fruit. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you said, apples,
I said
pears,
quinoa.
Walnuts
and almonds. and berries and apples and pears, simple things. I'm vegetarian, I'm sorry. So that's
Don't be sorry. Goodness.
No chicken. And
no problem.
Cheese for me.
That's your choice.
Chef's a cheesetarian. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am a cheese. God, I love cheese. Oh, my goodness.
It's opiates.
Mm. Oh, really?
It's opiate-like effect on the brain, along with chocolate. So if you're chocolate-aholic or cheese-aholic, there is a reason for it. So, I always recommend to my patients, talk to your husband, you need a date. Something needs to change.
I need a date. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it's out there in radio land now.
Yeah,
I am single.
Chef gets home. Chef gets home. Uh-huh. Late at night.
Oh, stop right now. Stop right now, Tony Foreman.
A little Barry White music goes on.
God. Oh, God, I can't take this. What was the next question that we both answered?
A really handsome piece of Manchego comes out of the fridge.
It's love. It's the opiate. It's the same high you get when you run. Chemically.
Right. And I don't do.
Chocolate.
So there you
chocolate
go.
Chocolate cheese running. There you go.
Therein lies part of the problem, probably. I need to start running. Natural opiates.
Let me tell you, I hate running.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
It's a confession.
I'd like to just play a game. You know, if you're going to exercise, I say volleyball or something. You know, it's fun stuff. Running, I can't do. I admire people that like to run.
Chase the cheese on the stick.
Chase the cheese.
I've been doing.
Okay. The best thing you ever ate.
I'm curious.
Oh, I said chausson and puff pastry. So it's, or chausson, which is puff pastry with a whole truffle inside of it.
It's a vegetarian dish for you.
Mm. Yeah, that is vegetarian, except for the sauce, which we could just ignore. Mm. But the sauce is a reduction sauce with fresh truffle, too. But it's literally a whole truffle baked in puff pastry. And chef in the southern part of France makes it.
That is interesting.
And the truffles are just incredibly fresh and amazing and beautiful. Mm. And it's just when you break open the pastry, and the perfume of the truffle is intoxicating. What's your favorite dish?
Oh, that's just my mother's tradition from my hometown. So you can't really reproduce it anywhere else, I am afraid. You have to go to my hometown.
Yeah, the most different answers were the truffles and the herring.
Oh, yeah.
Those
all right.
From the Baltic Sea were the most different
but
ones.
I bet that was delicious. So how did she prepare?
So I haven't been there for Christmas for a few years. So I haven't eaten it for a few years, and I'm just salivating over it. It's just a child memory. So you can go to a local fisherman, or a local store that gets fish fresh from the fishermen. We can walk to the beach from where my mother lives. It's on the Baltic Sea.
Nice.
So herrings are all over. That's what we ate. So she would get fresh herring that were preserved in salt, and she would keep them in the sink for a few days in water, get rid of that extra salt, and then she would clean them up. Had little chunks of the by this time, the bones kind of disintegrated. Mm-hmm. And then she would have this amazing, I don't know where she got it from, but it's, and I'm vegetarian, I don't even do dairy, but I will eat that. It's sour cream, apples, and onions all together poured over this. And it's served, this is cold, and it's served with hot cooked potatoes. We cook them in water, we don't bake them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was divine.
Sounds great. Wonderful. That's such a great memory for you.
I can't get it anywhere here.
Well, that's a long way to go home.
You're not going to get those cold water herring either. That's the start with that. It's not going to be as fatty at all.
No. The closest I can get is a Polish store that has a seal, kind of vacuum packed smoked mackerel.
That's very different from cured. Sure. Mm. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
So let's take one or two of Cindy's better-known recipes, and maybe you explain how you prepare the dish, and maybe she can give you ideas of how to make it healthier.
All right. I'm sorry. That was quite a response. Okay. Let's see. Let me think here. Okay. Uh-oh. Well, one of my favorite dishes is pan-roasted wild rockfish and we make a fricassee of oyster mushrooms and button mushrooms that we do cook in butter with a little bit of salt, and we cook all the water content out of the mushroom and cook them until they're nicely caramelized, and then we serve it with lemon beurre blanc. So that's a reduction of white wine and shallots that comes down to almost nothing, and then you mount it with cold butter, and that sauce is actually a warm sauce. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the dishes that's I've done for a long time. It's quite simple dish, but everything has to be executed perfectly. The fish has to be cooked well. You start off with a great fish and cook it right, and good mushrooms and cook them right, and then make a beurre blanc with a very good butter from a small farm in Vermont, and use a nice white wine for the reduction, and that's it.
Well, I eat very simple foods. This is amazing. This is exquisite. The only thing I would do is, have you ever tried to actually use clarified butter instead of butter? I tried to wean people away from butter with all the dairy proteins in it.
Well, with that, it would just have to be, I mean, you know, when Tony says, comes up with this idea, the thing is that you'd have to completely alter the dish. Mm-hmm. In other words, you can't use clarified butter to make beurre blanc. Mm-hmm. You have to have whole butter to do that. So the sauce wouldn't work. But I mean, you could mm-hmm. certainly just serve it with clarified butter, but I'm mm-hmm. not quite sure what the benefit would be and why what would be the benefit of going from using whole butter to clarified.
You're trying to have them avoid the milk proteins.
Yes. And if you, yes, the clarified butter actually has a lot more benefits for the gut, for the colon.
Okay.
It's been used in Ayurvedic medicine in India for centuries.
Okay.
So it is high in butyric acid, which actually feeds your colonic environment. But the butter, the whole butter, has a lot of the dairy proteins. And a lot of people actually are sensitive to dairy or dairy proteins.
Sure, sure. Absolutely.
So it's a little bit a different animal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more stable. You know, it won't go rancid. You can
keep
it out. You don't have to refrigerate it. So.
Okay. Probably another dish would be...
I was wondering about the shrimp and grits.
Okay. So shrimp and grits are... two large shrimp that are sautéed in corn oil, and then near the end of the cooking, we add a beurre noir of Tasso ham, which is a Cajun cured ham, beurre noir, which is smallest of dice, of andouille sausage, which is a Creole or a Cajun sausage, pork sausage that's cold smoked.
Okay.
And then we deglaze that pan with white wine, add cold butter, again, to basically we're making a beurre blanc sauce, so we're a little bit repetitive here, but you're basically making a solid sauce in the pan, so you need to add cold butter to the pan, and we finish that with chives. And then the grits themselves are cooked with milk, salt, and a tiny bit of butter.
Milk and butter.
Mm-hmm.
Milk and butter. I would say the idea behind corn oil is because it's light.
It's neutral.
It's neutral.
More that it's neutral oil and it has a high flash point, so that's why we saute in it.
I would definitely stay away from corn oil. I never recommend it.
Why is that?
Because it's high in omega-6s. And the corn oil that you get is from genetically modified crops.
Okay.
And so omega-6 is highly inflammatory. We have too much of it. It's kind of the opposite to omega-3 you get from wild salmon or fish oil.
Okay.
So that's inflammation. That's more pain in the joints and so on and so forth. And so I'm always concerned with where the corn comes from.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What would you suggest cooking with instead of corn oil then? That would be healthier.
If you need something with high heat in my field, which would probably completely mess up your recipe... I haven't personally used macadamia oil, but I understand that.
Oh, I would never.
Safflower seed?
Yeah, omega-6, safflower, sunflower, corn, all that. Yeah, it's the same. The same.
Grape seed?
The same thing. A grape seed might be, it's highly refined. When you refine oils, you hit them with hexane, which is a neurotoxin. So I always look at the toxicity level.
Sure.
The one thing that is very popular right now, even if you don't like the coconut flavor, you can get refined coconut oil, and that's very stable, takes heat very well, and doesn't have the flavor. So that might carry it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When we come back on Formidable Wolf, on food and wine and a little bit of chemistry class this morning... We'll be taking your calls, 410-662-8780. And we'll wrap up with a chef's challenge at the very end, where we won't have Cash to tear apart our recipies.
Okay.
All of that
or
and more on
should.
WIPR. Maybe we should.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.